Hello and welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wicked Good and I am talking to you about Hearthstone as I am driving home from work. It is Monday, August 6th, 2018. It is less than a day to Boomsday and I could not be more excited. And as you will be listening to this, if you're new and you're expecting me to talk about cards, that is not happening today, at least not in the way you might expect. The first part of the card review with Andrew over at the Happy Hearthstone should be out tomorrow morning as you are listening to this, so you can finish up listening to me on this show, and then you can go over to the Happy Hearthstone and listen to us talk about 60 cards for 3.5 hours. That is not an exaggeration. So, yeah. It's good, though. It's always, you know, this is one of my favorite times of the year, of the cycle, I guess. And I'm happy to be able to do it, and I'm happy that, you know, we're able to have those kinds of discussions for that long. And, you know, and go into that kind of detail, because, you know, not everybody does, not everybody wants to, and that's fine. And I just can't shut up, as you know from listening to the show. So you can go listen to that. I'm pretty happy with how it turned out. Also, I mean, I'll talk about my week on ladder is pretty unremarkable. I've basically just been clearing quests and just trying to keep my head above water. I've been playing some Mali Druid, played that on stream last night and on Friday night because I needed to. One of the things I did not know about the new metal update is that it was going to completely mess up my stream setup. So I did an extra stream on Friday night, and it's a good thing I did because I just got Twitch affiliate this week. So that is exciting. So you'll be able to subscribe. I have to figure out an emote, but, you know, you can always send me your ideas. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm old. I don't know how this stuff works. So I'm willing to take suggestions there. But anyway, so you can go and sub to me soon, and that is exciting. But that's pretty much it. Like, I've been basically in a holding pattern, just clearing quests, trying to get as much gold as I can. I should be doing a card opening stream tomorrow night around 9 p.m. if you're listening to this in time. If not, you can catch the VOD after the fact at twitch.tv/wickedgoodfm. And that's really all I have to say about ladder, because I have a lot of decks to talk about. I've been basically spending the last couple days theorycrafting a lot of decks. I kept getting more and more ideas. I'm going to go through them as many as I can before I get home, basically. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about ladder, because that's the least interesting part of whatever's happening today. And I just want to give kind of a quick preface on the purpose for this. This is kind of what I'm thinking directionally as far as what kinds of things you could maybe build. Not all of these decks will be good. Not all of these decks will be playable. Not all of these decks are good ideas. Not all of these decks are actually even necessarily intended to be good ideas. This is just kind of an idea of what you can do. Don't craft anything for these decks, please. You shouldn't be crafting anything until at least like 2 weeks after the set comes out, when the first Vicious Syndicate report comes out for the new meta anyway. But please don't craft anything for these decks unless you are inclined to anyway, because just because a card is in here does not mean it's good. Sometimes I'm putting things in here that I think are probably bad, but I want to prove to myself anyway. So that's what these are, but these are things that you can build if you have the cards for them, or, you know, feel free to substitute as needed. If you're close, if you just want something to play day one. So anyway, that's enough preamble. Let's get into the decks. Okay, so first up, I've got a couple of decks that are basically just kind of minor updates for decks that we already have in the meta. So the first one is Mali Ghost Druid. This is kind of the obvious one. The list that I have looks like this. It's going to be two Moonfire, one Biology Project, two Spellstone, two Naturalize, two Wild Growth, one Wrath, two Ferocious Howl, two Branching Paths, one copy of Flibitinous Floop, two Swipe, two Arcane Tyrant, two Nourish, two Spreading Plague, one Starfire, one Malfurion, one Lich King, Alexstrasza, Mali Ghost, and two copies of Ultimate Infestation. So you can see that I'm dropping the twig for Floop. You could run both. I don't feel like you really want to necessarily, though you could drop the Starfire for that. But you have to drop the Oaken Summons package. Some of the Mali Ghost Druids recently have been running the Oaken Summons package with two Ironwood Golems and sometimes like an Injured Blade Master. You cannot do that with Flibitinous Floop. And this is something that we did not talk about on the card review, but this is an important point to keep in mind. That's going to lower your survivability. So is it a bad thing? I don't know. I don't know if this is necessarily the list you want to play. But this is an attempt to make Mally Ghost Drew a little bit more consistent by not relying on the Twig synergies. That said, I don't think you necessarily need the Twig synergies a lot of the time anyway to win the deck. And I think reducing your survivability is probably not great. So now I'm even less convinced that Floop is going to be like the game-breaking card that it was once I tried to build a deck with it. But anyway, that's something you can do. All right, next up is a Recruit Warrior with using the Boom Ship. So I used... I should mention, I haven't really looked at anyone else's theory crafts before this, so this is just kind of my first takes. These are going to get refined, and I'll probably end up using other people's versions that may be better than these. But anyway, so I took Frozen's Recruit Warrior, which is pretty much considered the gold standard for this type of list. And obviously the Boom Ship is a card that you're going to want to play in order to get the cards that are stuck in your hand out. And also one of the things that I wanted to work in was Weapons Project to be able to deal with things like Twig and Skull of the Minari and stuff like that. And also just because it's a good early game card anyway for this type of deck. So the list looks like two copies of Shield Slam, one Dead Man's Hand, which is good for shuffling the big minions back into your deck. Two Execute, two Forge of Souls, because you want to get Willcleaver as quickly as you can. One Slam, two Warpath, two Weapons Project, one copy of Reckless Flurry, two Shield Blocks, two Blood Razors, one Brawl, or two Brawls rather, two copies of Gather Your Party, and then you have all your minions. So you have Geosculptor Yip, you have Grommish Hellscream, you have Rotface, you have Scourge Lord Garrosh, you have the Lich King, one copy of Willcleaver, you have the Boom Ship, and then I added in a Ysera just to get a little bit of extra threat density. So obviously you're getting big things out as quickly as you possibly can, and you're shuffling them back in with the one copy of Dead Man's Hand if you need to, and then you can use the Boom Ship to recruit them all out of your, or to summon them all out of your hand, give them rush, and especially with cards like Garrosh, and well, Garrosh just has just straight up has charge, so you could even use that and just go straight face. Now that I'm thinking about that, you probably want charging Devil Swords in this. And maybe the Ysera should be a charging Devil Sword now that I'm actually thinking about that. But this is also good. I mean, a 412 charging out to trade something off is also good. Maybe you want a couple fewer, control tools, possibly. I think you probably want as many control tools as you can get. Maybe you cut it down to one Forge of Souls, I don't know. But in any event, you're looking at, recruiting out a whole bunch of big minions as early as you can. And then once you get to turn 9, you can Boom Ship and drop whatever you've drawn, because you will inevitably have drawn some percentage of them over the course of the game, and then drop them off for one big swing turn. So I think that might help the consistency of this deck a little bit better, because there is a problem when you're just dropping one big threat a turn late because you've drawn them. So the Boom Ship can really be a help in this type of a deck. Okay, so the next up is Token Druid, and this is kind of not necessarily the same, but I guess it's close enough to what's already in the meta. And I'm not really sure about this one. I think there's a few different ways you can build it, and I'm not 100% confident with this. But what I came up with was one copy of Floop's Glorious Gloop, two Spellstone, two Wild Growth, two Savage Roar, two Branching Paths, two Violet Teacher, two Oaken Summons, two Swallow the Forest, two Swipe, two Whispering Woods, two copies of Living Mana, two copies of Nourish, two Spreading Plague, one Malfurion, two Mulch Muncher, and two Ultimate Infestation. So basically, you're taking out things like Arcane Tyrants. You probably don't need them. The Mulch Munchers are probably better in the late game. And you're working in a little bit of extra Treant synergy with the Living Mana. And then the Floop's Glorious Gloop can help you to be able to do things like Savage Roar after the fact, even when you're low on mana, because you just played Living Mana and you haven't killed off any of your Treants yet. Is this better than existing Token Druid? I don't know. I'm not very good with Token Druid to begin with, so I'm not really the best person to say. But this is one way you could build it. I feel like Biology Project also might have a place in here, because you just kind of want to ramp against your combo. But in any event, this is one way you can build it. But I think that if Gloop is going to have a place, it's going to be in this style of deck. Moving on to more original things for this particular meta. Obviously, if we're going to be playing in Boomsday, we're going to have some mech decks. So I've got one for each of the magnetic classes. Mech Paladin is two copies of Glotron, two Lost in the Jungle, two Righteous Protector, two Skaterbot, which is the 1-1 Rush Magnetic. Prince Keliseth, 2 Bronze Gatekeeper, which is the 1-5 Magnetic Taunt. 2 copies of Divine Favor, 2 Annoyal Modules, 2 Coppertail Imposters, which are the 4-mana 4-4 with Stealth Mech. 2 copies of Call to Arms, 2 Giggling Inventors, 2 Meccano Eggs, 2 War Gears, Ziliax, a Missile Launcher, Sunkeeper Tower, Valinir, and Kangor's Endless Army. So, trying to make this kind of a tempo deck, Call to Arms is obviously going to be useful just in general. You're going to use Divine Favor because we're going back to the old, like, Even Paladin, or, not Even Paladin, what am I talking about? Like, the more, like, Murloc Paladin type days. And you're just going to try to get more of your mechs out, and then you can stick other magnets to it. I like the Skater Bot. I like the Skater Bot in general, but I like the Skater Bot particularly in this list because of Kangor's Endless Army, because giving your minions rush is relevant when you are spending 7 mana to summon 3 of them. So I think that you want to be sticking a magnet rush on a minion so that you can have it affect the board, because otherwise your 7 mana spell is not doing anything, really. I mean, maybe you're summoning a taunt, but you probably are, because you probably have an Annoyal Module or a Bronze Gatekeeper somewhere, and that'll kind of help you be able to dictate some trades and slow your opponent down. But I feel like you want to have rush as well so you can get some value trades off of it and be able to do something proactively. I'm pretty interested in this deck. I would love to get a couple of the two legendaries that you need, because I feel like this has potential. This may not be the list, but there's something here. I mean, you can't have Annoyal Module and Meccano Egg and some of the other stuff without there being something here. And Coppertail Imposter, and I think you'll see it in the Warrior deck too, I think it's going to be kind of the bone marrow of the set, because a 4-4 with Stealth that's a mech that you can then stick magnets onto is really powerful, and I'm making sure to include that in at least this one and the Warrior one, which are more tempo-based and not as... The Hunter one is a little bit more death-rattly, but this one is more just like a straight tempo deck, and I think that Coppertail Imposter is going to be a really big part of that. Okay, so next up is Warrior. So that's going to be 2 copies of Eternium Rover, which is the 1-mana little mini Armorsmith. 2 Faithful Lumi, which is basically the Rockpool Hunter, the 1-1 Rockpool Hunter. 1 copy of Omega Assembly, which is Discover a Mech. If you have 10 mana crystals, draw all 3. 2 copies of Skaterbot, again, Prince Keliseth. 2 Acolyte of Pain, 1 Bronze Gatekeeper, 2 Frothing Berserker, 2 Bloodraiser, 2 Coppertail Imposter, 2 Corcron Elite, 1 Meat Wagon, 2 Dynomatics, 1 copy of Ziliax, 1 Missile Launcher, 2 Security Rover, 1 Beryllium Nullifier, Dr. Boom Mad Genius, Grom, and the Lich King. So this deck is, again, going kind of tempo-based. I like the Meat Wagon, because the Meat Wagon can kind of summon other things out of the deck. And I didn't really find a great place for it in Paladin, but in here it's really good. And I think the other thing is that with things like the Missile Launcher and Bloodraiser and stuff like that, like, Tempo Warrior was a real deck at one point. And being able to damage your own minions and get value out of that with Grom, with... you have the Dynomatic, you have the Missile Launcher, and you have the Bloodraiser to activate some of those effects. And then you have things like Frothing Berserker, and, you know, Corcoran Leech is going to go face, and that's fine. You've got the Security Rover, which is going to make more mechs, and then getting Dr. Boom to rush everything out. I think this is something. I think Keliseth makes sense in this type of a list also, just because there weren't really many 2-drops other than the Frame Bot, which I think Keliseth's probably just better. So this is another take on it. I'm sure that there will be something else. I know Fibonacci's been very down on this, but he's also not really a tempo warrior kind of guy. Like, I trust his opinions when he is talking about control warrior specifically, but tempo warrior, I don't think has really ever been his strength. So I feel like there's probably something here. It's a matter of finding what the right mix of mechs is. And this with the Paladin deck as well, because it's hard to know really what the right ones are, but I kind of took a Tempo Warrior deck that was reasonably successful earlier in the season, but wasn't quite good enough, and just kind of put more mechs into it, and we'll see how that goes. I think there's definitely something here. I will probably be crafting Dr. Boom just because I want to, because I love me some Dr. Boom, and I want to have that card, but I think there's definitely something here with a mech warrior and at least the first couple days of the expansion. Well, time will tell if it's good enough or not. But I feel like there's, once we figure out what the right combination of mechs are, then it's going to be a deck. So for Hunter, I don't know if this is the right approach or not, but I'm kind of taking the approach of merging the Egg Hunter shell with the Goblin Bombs, because there seems to be a lot of the Goblin Bomb synergy in Hunter, and that seems to be the way you want to build it. So I kind of took some of the early game, like, live to get your eggs out stuff, and I just put in more mechs and more bombs. So what I ended up with is 2 Candle Shot, 2 Hunter's Mark, 2 copies of Play Dead, 2 copies of Tracking, 2 Bomb Toss, which is the 2 mana spell that does, I believe, 2 damage and then summons a Goblin Bomb, 2 Fireworks Tech, which gives a mech +1/+1 and activates Death Rattle, 2 Devil Sword Egg, 1 Void Ripper, 2 Explodinator, which is a mech, I forget what the stats are on it, that summons 2 Goblin Bombs, Houghton Master Shaw, 2 Flanking Strikes, Spirit Singer Umbra, 2 copies of Carnivorous Cube, 1 Witchwood Grizzly, 1 Rexxar, 2 Hymene, Boommaster Flark, Kathrina, and King Crush. Now, some of the choices are kind of suspect. I'm not 100% on Umbra. I might just be better off being a second Grizzly. But all things considered, I think this is, you just want to kind of be putting a lot of Death Rattles on the board and then be activating them. I think some of the things like Necro Technician or what, Necro Mechanic or whatever the hell it's called that make them go off twice is probably win more. Like, if you have enough Death Rattles to matter, then it's probably, you probably don't need that. And even like the Play Dead and, you know, I took out the Terror Scale Stalkers. I think you might want an Argus in here instead of the Spirit Singer Umbra, just to be able to taunt the things up, and maybe even take the Grizzly out, and you just go with 2 copies of Hymene and King Crush to come out of the Kathrina, which are fine, really. Like, you don't need that much value out of Kathrina. So I feel like this could be something. I think, again, it's a matter of how heavy you need to go in some of these synergies, and generally the tendency is to go hard on the synergies and then walk it back as the decks get refined. But this seems to be a good way for Hunter to go, and Death Rattle Hunter seems to be, you know, the deck to play right now. So being able to do more Death Rattles and just keep doing damage and turn it into a little bit more of a face deck seems like it's probably a way to go. Alright, so now this is my take on Hand Mage, and this is something that Sean Smoker and I have been kind of cooking up for pretty much like 3 months now. So I think some of the cards in this list will help, but it's, you know, it hasn't worked yet, so we'll see how this goes, and this may need some more spells ultimately, but this one is 2 copies of Firefly, 2 Primordial Glyph, 2 Pyro, or not 2 Pyros, it's a legendary. Pyros, 2 copies of Research Project, which is the 2 mana spell that draws 2 cards for both players. 1 Gluttonous Ooze, Stargazer Luna, 2 Stonehill Defender, 2 Voodoo Doll, Leyline Manipulator, 2 copies of Polymorph, 2 Twilight Drakes, 2 Servants of Kalimos, 2 Meteorologists, which are the ones that do damage equal to the number of cards in your hand. 1 Astromancer, which is like the Spiteful Summoner for how many cards are in your hand. Baron Geddon, Sindragosa, the Lich King, Frostless Jaina, and 2 Mountain Giants, because the Mountain Giants are elementals. So you have the elemental synergy, you have a lot of things that put cards in your hand, you have Leyline Manipulators to discount them. Maybe there should be some AIs in here, some Arcane Intellects. Maybe that's, I'm not sure what that's necessarily instead of. If you don't need the Gluttonous Ooze, maybe one of them goes in there. Maybe you cut one of the Servants of Kalimos for that. But I think that, like, Alaneth does not fit in a deck like this, straight up. It's too slow. Like, you're never going to be able to draw that many cards and play them all out. And ultimately, like, Mountain Giant is not necessarily a destination. It's just something that you're going to be able to work some more value in later on. Archmage Aragol, I'm pretty convinced, does not belong in the deck at all. Every time I play it, I'm underwhelmed. We did cut Book of Spectres for the research project, and it might not be an either or, it might be an and, either with that or I think AI is probably better. I just feel like it's one extra card over an AI, and you don't have to worry about dropping the spells, which is not necessarily a bad thing in terms of, like, you know, losing the spell. It's just that you really want the cards in your hand. And if you're throwing some of them out anyway, then you may as well just go with the AI and guarantee get two cards. So, I've played this in casual, like another version of it. It's reasonably successful. I mean, it's not something I would take on ladder yet, but maybe this version would work. So it's fun. I think eventually this kind of an archetype will work, but I just don't know if this is what we need or we still need a couple more cards for it. All right, so another one that is kind of based on a deck that was almost there this past expansion is going to be a Velen OTK Priest featuring Xeric's Cloning Gallery. So this is two copies of Holy Smite, two Powered Shield, two Loot Hoarder, two Mind Blast, two Radiant Elemental, two Shadow Visions, two Shadow Word Pain, two Spirit Lash, two Shadow Word Death, two Twilight's Call, two Vivid Nightmare, two Mass Dispel, two Spellstone, one Velen, one Psychic Scream, one Maligos, and one copy of Xeric's Cloning Gallery. So the idea is you're going to draw and draw and draw. You're going to get your Loot Hoarders out. You're going to get Radiant Elementals out. You're going to draw with some of the cards that, like Mass Dispel and Powered Shield to get you through your deck. You want to get Loot Hoarders down so then you can Twilight's Call them. The original version ran Thalnos. Maybe Thalnos is still better than Maligos. I don't know. Maybe that's just better. But ultimately, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get one copy of each of your minions killed. Or you play Xeric's Cloning Gallery and then you Spirit Lash it. Which you will be able to do on 10 mana because you'll have a Radiant Elemental in the pool usually. And then you Spellstone, which brings back one copy of each minion. So that gives you a Velen and a Radiant Elemental. So that doubles all. And if you have Maligos, it's even more damage. And then you basically Vivid Nightmare two of your Radiant Elementals and throw all your Burn to Face. Because all of your spells will be free. Or maybe you Vivid Elemental. Or you Vivid Nightmare. A Radiant Elemental, you Vivid Nightmare, a Velen, and then you throw all the rest of your spells at face because they are all going to be discounted by two. So this is kind of an all-in deck. It's kind of gimmicky. Phenom was able to take a top 50, but he's probably one of the best combo deck players in the world. So, there is probably something here. I think that Xeric's Cloning Gallery will make this a lot more consistent. I was trying to play this over the weekend a little bit, and the problem really is that you just don't get you don't get Velen. Like, Velen's at the bottom of your deck, and you're just sad, and you don't find your card draw. So this kind of gives you another way to make sure that you get all that out as quickly as you possibly can. Is this going to be a legitimate deck? Maybe. I don't know. It's definitely going to be something you can play. I can't guarantee you're going to be successful with it. It's a very difficult deck to play because you're trying to balance using your combo pieces and, not dying, but it's a fun deck, and, that's pretty much what I have to work with in Priest right now, so I'll take what I can get. Alright, and the last one of the semi-serious decks is Pogo Hopper Rogue, because we couldn't go without a Pogo Hopper Rogue, and I basically just decided to take Quest Rogue and take out a couple of the cards for two copies of Pogo Hopper and two copies of Lab Recruiter. So it's two Preparation, two Shadow Step, two Glacial Shard, two South Sea Deckhand, two South Stone Tusk Borer, the Caverns Below, two copies of Lab Recruiter, two copies of Novice Engineer, two Pogo Hoppers, one copy of Sap, two Vicious Scale Hides, two Youthful Brewmaster, one Fan of Knives, Sonya Shadow Dancer, Zola the Gorgon, Elven Minstrel, Myra's Unstale Element, and two copies of Vanish. So we're kind of taking out a little bit of the draw in the form of the Mimic Pods, and we're replacing that with Myra's Unstable Element to just draw the rest of your deck, and then theoretically you'll be able to shuffle Pogo Hoppers and Lab Recruiters back in. We're playing the quest because if we're already bouncing stuff, we may as well. And then you'll start the Pogo Hoppers at a 4-4 instead of a 1-1, and then apply all the bonuses on top of it. I think that this may not be the way to go, but it feels like the right way to go with the Pogo Hopper, because it seems like it should be very powerful, and this is kind of the boost that Quest Rogue would need in order to be viable again, and it still kind of is viable, so giving it an extra boost in terms of the Pogo Hopper seems like a reasonable approach. Alright, and now we're on to some of, the wacky ideas that, sometimes I just need to build things to get them out of my system. So, don't play the rest of these decks, but there's something there, and maybe it's kind of gets you thinking about different things you could do. So, the first one is going to be an odd Overload Shaman. Yes, that's what I said. I have gotten into a lot of fights about the Stormbringer, and if it's going to work in a Token Shaman. There's probably a more reasonable build to this, but I kind of wanted to go all in, because I feel like Baku and Shaman is actually good because you can choose the totem and that's actually more powerful than it seems. So I tried to make sort of an aggro token Shaman out of this. So 2 copies of Atreus Veteran, 2 Firefly, 2 Lightning Bolt, 2 Unstable Evolution, 2 Voltaic Burst, which is 1 mana, 1 Overload that summons 2/1/1 Sparks with Rush, Electric Storm Surge, which makes your next spell trigger twice, 2 Feral Spirit, 1 Owl, 2 Lava Burst, 2 Mana Time Totem, 2 Raven Caller, 1 Unbound Elemental, 2 copies of Bloodlust, 2 Giggling Inventors, Thrall, the Stormbringer, which is the 7-mana legendary spell that transforms everything into legendary minions, Baku, and then 2 Snow Fury Giant. So generally, you're basically trying to build a board, buff it up, and then either finish with Bloodlust or turn everything into legendary minions with the Stormbringer. I'm still not sold on the card, but at least it makes everything into roughly a 4-drop with upside and downside. So at least that's reasonable if you're just making a lot of 1/1s or a lot of 1-drops. And then you can use Thrall to evolve things further. And then eventually you just finish things off with Burn. And then you can either get Electric Storm Surge into a double Bloodlust or a double Lava Burst. And that should be enough to finish the game, theoretically. This is probably a bad deck. This is almost certainly not the way you should build this deck. But I want to try out Shaman. And I want to try a couple different approaches. So last time I was all in on the Spellstone. This seems a little bit better. We'll see. It's probably bad. Okay, this is a little bit more reasonable, and this is one that I actually do want to try. So I've wanted to build a control paladin for a while. There have been a couple of builds that are almost there, and there was one in the latest Blizzard Off Meta report that I kind of took in and adjusted some of the cards out of to see if I can make it work with some of the new cards. So it looks like 2 copies of Righteous Protector, Crystal Smith Kangor, which is the 1/2 Divine Shield that doubles all your healing, 2 copies of Crystallogy that draw 2/1 attack minions from your deck, 2 Equality, 1 Holy Light, 2 Loot Hoarder, 2 Wild Pyromancer, 2 Youthful Brewmaster, 2 Aldor Peacekeeper, 1 Blackwald Pixie, 2 Stonehill Defender, Zola the Gorgon, 2 Consecration, 2 True Silver Champion, 2 copies of Shrink Ray, 2 Blackguards, which are the 3/9s that do damage equal to your healing, 1 copy of Lay on Hands, and with her the Oven Blade. So it's kind of a typical control paladin, and I think it gets a little bit improved by Shrink Ray. I think Crystal Smith Kangor is an interesting card that should see play in the right deck. I'm not necessarily convinced of all these choices. I don't know if Blackguard is actually good, but I haven't actually tried it, so I kind of want to try it. And you know, with when you're combining everything with the healing from Uther the Ebon Blade, Lay on Hands can be like 16 burst healing. And you have a win condition in the Uther effect where you can use copies of Youthful Brewmaster along with Zola the Gorgon to get copies of the horseman back to your hand, and then you play 2 different ones. And then you hero power, I believe they cost 1 mana, and then you hero power Blackwell Pixie hero power to do the rest. So you need to lay on hands for draw. You might need a little bit more draw in this, and I'm not sure where it comes from. But I like this idea of this deck, and it feels like something that will be fun to try. Okay, the last one that I have is you should absolutely not play. I am not a combo priest player. I don't think this is good, but I wanted to kind of try something because, again, I'm not super thrilled with the Priest cards because Combo Priest is not the way I like to play Priest. But I feel like there's something there with Test Subject. And so I tried to build a new kind of, like, mid-range Combo Priest with extra arms. And just because I want to call it, you know, Arms Race. That's basically the whole reason that I build decks sometimes. So this is 1 copy of Topsy Turvy, 2 copies of Inner Fire, 2 Narshire Cleric, 2 Powered Shield, 2 Test Subject, which is the 0/2 that returns everything that you've played, that all the spells you played on it back to your hand when it dies, 2 Divine Hymn, 2 Divine Spirit, 2 Radiant Elemental, 2 Shadow Visions, 2 Wild Pyromancer, 1 copies of Dragon Soul because we're memeing Let's Meme Hard, 2 copies of Extra Arms, 2 copies of Vivid Nightmare, 2 Unpowered Steam Bots, Lyra, Zeric, Master Cloner, and 2 copies of Psychic Scream. So I figure that, you know, the one thing about Test Subject is it does let you play some of those minions or those spells early and then theoretically get them back as long as it doesn't get silenced. Most decks are still, maybe they're running 2 silences, but they would have to have it early and you can just kind of trade this off and then get the value back from it. Especially if that happens with extra arms, because you're then playing all the arms onto the thing, you're getting more arms and extra arms back in your hand, then you have lots of arms, and then you can play those on different spells, and then you have plenty of spells to discount with Raiden Elemental and Dragon Soul and Lyra. This is probably bad. But it looks fun. And I just kind of want to play extra arms because it's a ridiculous card. And I just love the idea of more arms, so I am going to play that. It's going to make me happy. This will probably be what I end up playing against you if you choose to share your 80 gold quest with me. And I am preemptively sorry for that. All right, so that is what I have for you. That is a fairly large number of decks to squeeze into a 40-minute commute. So hopefully there's something in there that you like, at least for the first day. And then, you know, once we get like a day or two and the pros are you know, brewing stuff, we'll have a better idea probably by the weekend of what the meta looks like. But in the meantime, that's just some stuff for you to try. Some of it's fun. Some of it's a little more serious. Depending on what you like. I think there's a lot to choose from. So, as always, you can... I will post these lists on... Both on the show notes at offcurve.com. I believe I will post these to Twitter as well. And you can find those at offcurve. And you can also find those... you can find those following me at WickedGood. And both of those will bring you to those deck lists. So if you want to try something, that's the place to go. You can, you know, again, you can follow me on Twitter at WickedGood. And you can also follow me on Twitch. Again, I just got affiliate, so yay. So you can find me streaming on twitch.tv/WickedGoodFM. And, you know, please do leave a review on iTunes if you are so inclined. The reviews do help a lot. And I haven't got one in a while, so I don't want to have to beg, but, you know, I might. But anyway, I'm not going to beg right now. I'm just going to kind of ask you very nicely. If you haven't left one, you could take 2 minutes. Would super, super help and would be pretty great. So please do that. And, of course, go over to the Happy Hearthstone. Subscribe if you have not already. And go get yourself over there so that you can hear 3.5 hours of glorious, glorious in-depth card reviews. You know, I joke about it, but I am also really proud of the work that Andrew and I do for these episodes. And so I really want folks to listen to it. And it is really one of my favorite times of the year to be able to do that. So please do go check that out. And, you know, if you do come from here, let Andrew know that I sent you so that he knows I'm pulling my weight. Just kidding. I know I'm pulling my weight. Anyway, so we are 1 day away from Boomsday. It may be Boomsday Day as you're listening to this right now. So enjoy the first few days of the meta, really, because, you know, you never really get that time back. You know, like the first couple of days of a meta are kind of special, so enjoy those as much as you can. And then you can try hard. But until then... thank you, as always, for listening. I know you have a lot of choices of where you can spend your podcast listening time, and I appreciate you spending it with me on my drive home from work. And until next time, thanks for listening, good luck, and be good to each other.